Perfect is impossible, so let's strive for better and betterer. Tune in for inspiration and mini challenges across the 8 dimensions of wellness: emotional, physical, intellectual, spiritual, vocational, financial, environmental, and social. We make wellness fun and attainable so that you can feel awesome and do awesome. And now, your host, Jessica Jake.
Hi, everyone. This is Jessica Jake, and I'm here with Pastor Greg Hendricks. He's the campus pastor at The Rock Church here in San Diego, a former pro athlete, a professional basketball player, and coached the NBA for a little bit, and he's an author. He's here to talk about the third option with me. It's something that I learned about a couple of years back, and it really impacted my life, and I'm so delighted that I could share this with everybody. And thank you so much, Pastor Greg, for taking time out to speak with me today.
Oh, Jessica, it's an honor to be on here with you and looking forward to our conversation. Hopefully this will help a lot of people and bring hope and bring love and really start some great conversation en route to some reconciliation for our people and our country.
I share that hope as well. I think what really impacted me about the third option was, I mean, I'm turning 50 this year. When we were young, like, I was not a racist. I wasn't around racist people. I always stood up for people if there was anything that was a little bit funky or a lot funky going on. But I missed the mark on, like, that wasn't enough. And it wasn't until I heard Pastor Miles speak a couple years back that it opened my eyes to more. It opened my eyes to, you could be, you know, not a racist, but still be racially offensive or racially insensitive. And that I have blinders on for being in this in-group of white people, right? It really changed everything for me. So I would love to hear more about that from you.
Yeah. You know, I think in our culture now and in our country, we are at a tipping point where we have a beautiful opportunity to really correct some things that have been wrong for many, many years, whether it was overtly or covertly. Unfortunately, you know, you had different people having to lose their lives, some openly, publicly, before our very eyes, and some that we've never even heard their names before. And now we are at a point in our history where things can actually start to change. And people can really come together, black, white, male, female, Hispanic, Asian. We can all really come together in unity and really push forward for equality for all races, for male and female. But really just to start having really good dialogue, really start identifying some areas that we have gotten it wrong. But not feel shamed about that, not feeling broken about that, but feeling hopeful that now we have so much momentum as a country, so much momentum as humanity to really right some wrongs. And it gives me hope, you know. But there is, in the midst of our conversation, there is some things that we can have, conversations we can have, where we can start really going into some very intricate areas to really start doing some heart surgery. And, you know, and it's being humble, it's being open, it's being truthful with one another about, hey, we don't know it all, becoming very deep listeners as opposed to just speakers. The greatest leaders are the deepest listeners. And so when you want to be a deep listener, you understand the pain, you understand the complexity of the issue, you understand people's hearts. And when you do so, it helps you arrive upon very wise answers, wise solutions, very sustaining solutions, sustaining practices that would bless humanity. So I'm really excited about that in this season. And I'm excited for the fact that we as a society are long overdue for this conversation. Again, it's unfortunately we've had to lose a lot of lives because of that. And, you know, the things that have happened publicly in front of our very eyes, very, very very, very hard things, tough things to watch, very distraught things to watch, these heinous crimes, all these things. These are all, you know, heartbreaking. However, the other side of that is that, you know, we're all designed in God's image. And when we start to acknowledge that and start to see each other from that lens, it offers us a phenomenal starting point, even in the midst of pain, to build something towards hope.
Right. I love that. And is that the heart of the third option, to remember that humanity, that honor, that for whatever religion someone might have, that we share that God's image within every single one of us?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the main thing for the third option is to really identify that we have more in common than we do in difference. You know, we have more in common with each other, and that, you know, the purpose of the whole premise of the third option is to equip people to developing honoring relationships amongst all people, even people who don't look like you, people who don't move in the certain lanes you move in. And so there's so many different things you can engage in, you know, terms such as in-group, out-group bias, you know, similarities and racism, blind spots. A lot of us deal with blind spots. The power of labeling people, being a brother and sister's keeper, you know, honoring each other, honoring the human race through race consultations, you know, and just applying these daily things that we go through and little exercises to really help us grow as humanity in this season. That's the premises of the third option. Again, is honoring the similarities in one another, yeah, as opposed to the differences.
Yeah. And earlier you were talking about not being shamed or feeling broken. And I'd like to get into this idea of blind spots and in groups and out groups. And I do want to talk about race consultations in a little bit as well, because I think that when we have blind spots, we don't know that they're there, right, by very definition. So is there any story that you could share with us, or an example of how we can open our eyes to that blind spot, or maybe something that is an anecdote that could help explain that? Because there might be people, and I'm sure I have blind spots still that I don't know about, right? Like, I'm not saying right, no one ever notices that. So a way to get in, let people understand that concept a little bit more.
Right. Yeah, just to know that we all have blind spots in a certain degree. I know, so to a certain degree, and you know, we don't tend to know we have blind spots until we're put in a situation where we have to act upon what may essentially be blinding us from growth. And so, for example, this happened to me maybe, I don't know, three years ago. I was in the gym and I was working out, and these two white guys walked in, big guys, and you know, and I got prompted by God just to, hey, go pray for these guys. And I was like, I don't want to do that, you know. And you know, I'm looking at them, and immediately, even in my own mind, I stereotyped them. Long story short, I end up going over there after about 15-20 minute dialogue of going back and forth, like, I don't know, you know, I don't know God, and you know, this, that, and the third. And when I ended up going over there, I ended up having a really great conversation. I got the chance to pray for both guys, and a supernatural thing happened in the whole midst of the conversation. But come to find out that I had helped a previous friend of theirs, I don't know, maybe 4 months earlier, and I didn't know this other guy that I'd helped was their friend. He happened to go to our church, and I helped that guy. He was dealing with alcoholism, and he was struggling with sobriety, and I had helped him get involved into this program to help with his sobriety. And we just, you know, befriended him. And it was really all just based on, like, hey, man, I want to help you. I don't care, you know. And he was also a big white dude as well. And come to find out, the two guys in the gym, they knew this guy. Well, I ended up going home that day and I get a call and it was these two guys from the gym. And they're like, hey, is this the guy that prayed for us at the gym? And I'm like, you know, the first question you would probably ask yourself is like, well, how'd you get my number? You know, but yeah. I didn't. I just was like, you know, yeah, this is him. And, you know, and they're like, hey, we want to talk with you. You know, would you mind meeting us, you know, tomorrow? And I was kind of like, you know, hesitant, like, I don't know, you know, and but I ended up saying, hey, just meet me at the gym. You know, I'll take you guys out for coffee. So I go and I have coffee with these guys and I'm sitting there and we go into this really long conversation and I'm noticing a tattoo on one of the guys' forearms. And we start talking and they're opening up and asking me how I knew all this stuff about them. And it was all a God thing. It was really, really powerful. And in the midst of this conversation, come to find out that these guys were shot callers for a white supremacist gang out here where I was living. And I was like, wow, you know, like, and they were the sweetest guys, you know, they were super nice. And, you know, we're sitting there talking. And what I mean by shot caller, like they were guys that were ahead of these other guys of a white supremacist gang. And so initially I had labeled them in my own mind, you know, even though I was on assignment from God, I was over there to talk to them. I had labeled them in my own mind like, oh, you know, I don't know. I don't know if I want to talk to them. You know, they might not even receive me. You know, I just put up all these walls in my own heart and in my own mind of what I thought was going to be a success in me talking to them. And as opposed to just having this conversation, having an opportunity to speak to these guys. When I did finally say yes, it turned into something beautiful. And so much so that these guys were leaders of, you know, former leaders, not current, but former leaders of a white supremacist gang. And after my conversation with them, I ended up talking to one of the guys' moms and she was confessing how she had been praying so much for her child. And, you know, that's just one of the stories of how you stereotype a certain situation or you stereotype a narrative. And it like totally was the opposite of what I thought it was going to be. You know, one of the exercises that's good for all you listeners out there, what you can do is, if you were to have a list and some of the, you know, titles on this list were alcoholic, elderly, police officer, homeless, male, black, single, doctor. You know, if you were to write these things down and then close your eyes and have someone repeat it and then write down the first thing, the first word that pops into your mind when someone says that word. And that's a great exercise because, you know, what you find is that sometimes your narrative has already been written by what you've been ingesting or watching or who you've been around. Your narrative has already been written. You've already actually labeled that person or that situation as opposed to getting to know that person or understanding their situation or walking in their shoes or hearing their heart. Mm. And not there to give them answers, but like there to really hear their background. And sometimes a situation allows for that. Sometimes it doesn't. But you as an individual have to get really good at that core principle. You can't control what everybody else does around you, but you can control what's going on in your own growth. And so when you allow yourself to grow in that and that your narrative is not being dictated by what anyone else is saying or what anyone else is doing, it allows you a space and an opportunity to grow, to become a greater, more loving human being in our society, and you become a part of how we can actually solve some things that have been broken for many, many years.
That's so beautiful. And what I failed to tell you about before you came on the show is we generally do a challenge at the end of the episode. So when you were talking about this list, I do think that would be the perfect challenge for the episode is to maybe we'll put in the blog post some of the words that you mentioned or make it a PDF or something and let people try it because that is huge. And I like studying science. They say that if you hear something over and over again, it's called the illusion of, illusion of truth. It's called an illusion mm-hmm. of truth bias. And it becomes an implicit memory in your brain, but you're not cognitively aware of that. So you're making mm-hmm. decisions off of this memory in your brain that's in there just because you simply like heard something over and over and mm-hmm. your brain was like, that must be true, and doesn't even let you cognitively like register that that's part of what's in your wiring. So I think, you know, yeah. maybe some of that's at hand, or maybe just some of teachings that we are aware of, like there are probably like conscious beliefs that we have that could probably use a rewrite or get ditched. But I do love, I love that showing up and having these relationships and seeing where maybe, you know, what pops into your mind, you could explore mm-hmm. that more in the nature mm-hmm. of growing and being more yeah. kind. And but I also like that you were at the gym and you heard this like go talk to them. Mm-hmm. And that inspiration that I'm sure everybody gets. I was on a plane yeah. once, and my mom gives out these little angels. She buys they look like a nickel almost, but they're angels. I don't know if you've ever seen these. She buys right. them by the box load, and she gives them out to strangers all the time. And a lot of times mm-hmm. when I travel, she gives me one. So I was on the plane and I was sitting next to a gentleman, and he's talking to me, and then just for no reason, I get this like, give him an angel, like, okay. So I give him, yeah. I was like, literally never done it before or since, but I hand him the angel, and he just almost started crying. And he said, that's my wife sitting over there. And we kind of wave at each other. And he said that she was hit by a car, went flying, was in a coma. There was really no reason for her to be alive. And, mm-hmm. and, you know, this was like, you know, maybe some time had passed. And he said, I was last night, she was in bed, like making all this mumbly talking noises. And I asked her this morning, like, was she okay? Was she having a bad dream? Is she in pain? And she said, no, they came to check on me. And he said, who? And she's like, the angels that were in the hospital when I was sick. And I was, yeah. we were both just like, what? So I, you know, the word inspiration comes from in spirit, right? Like we're getting this. And could you talk a little bit about how that comes into play when we're navigating this, and maybe, you know, if you think yeah. people should listen more, or how they know when it's a true inspiration versus, you know, a thought right. in their head.
Right, right. Yeah. I love that, you know, and having this type of leading, you know, obviously I was having this conversation, you know, in my heart with God, you know, obviously as a pastor in my faith, that's, you know, that's my counselor. And so, you know, I'm having this conversation, and sometimes you're going to feel a leading to do something that is really just going to be of good measure to someone else, and it's going to bring them joy. So like, you know, the example you just shared about being in an airport, and you share this with this man, and he almost broke down crying, and he explained his whole backstory. And it brought comfort and validation and peace in the midst of that encounter with him. And it was the same thing with these guys in the gym. The part that I didn't mention was one of the guys that was working out, you know, I had, you know, kind of had a leading, and I was like, hey man, you recently just survived like a very traumatic thing. Like you were supposed to die, and you're here because you have a lot of things left that, you know, God wants to do through your life. And it froze him. He stopped lifting. And I was thinking like to myself, like, oh my gosh, I'm about to get in a fight in this gym, you know, like, cause I didn't know if he was upset or I didn't know where he was. And he pulled his shirt up, and he had a scar from the top of his neck all the way down his belly. And he's like, I recently just survived a cancer surgery. The doctors that performed my cancer surgery, you know, they botched the surgery, and I was supposed to die. And I recently just survived. And this is actually my first week back into physical activity. And it really rocked him to his core. And so when I answer your question about like, sometimes you hear that leading, how do you know if it's a leading? Number one, you got to ask yourself, is it going to bless the person that you talk to? is it going to bless them? Is it going to make them better? Is it going to leave them feeling greater than where they're at prior to? You don't know where they are. You didn't know where this guy was at with his wife. You didn't know that, but your job was there to just, you felt led to go over there and have a conversation with him, and it edified him. It built him up. It strengthened him. And the other part about that is that you get nothing in return. You know, you go with a deposit mindset over a withdrawal mindset. Deposit mindset is that whoever I come encounter with, whoever Jessica comes in encounter with, that person's going to be better when they leave Jessica's presence, or they leave Greg's presence, or they leave whoever's presence, or they leave the listener's presence. That person's going to be better. And I don't want not one thing in return. I want you to be happy, and I want you to be strengthened. That's how you know when you have that type of leading. And here's the beauty of that. You can go anywhere in the world. You can be a man or woman of faith. You can be a person who isn't of faith, but everybody wants to feel known, or everyone wants to feel loved. Everyone wants to feel acknowledged. And simply when you do acts of kindness towards people, you essentially are depositing in them hope, love, validation. All these things are edifying to a person and growing to a person. The beauty of all of that is when you do that, that person is blessed. The crazy part is that you walk away feeling even more thankful, even feeling, you know, better about yourself as a human being. I'll give you a prime example of this, Jessica, is, you know, you ever are on walking and you may happen to see someone who's homeless or who is really, really struggling, and you have the opportunity to help this person and you help them and they're just so thankful. And what usually happens, you walk away feeling like, man, I really did something positive. I really did something uplifting. I really did something that was a blessing. You walk away feeling refreshed. You walk away feeling, edified. And that's the beauty of, because we're all designed in the image of God, you know, and this, the third option, is essentially, that's the basis of the entire book, is honoring the things that we have most in common with. We're all designed in God's image. And when you honor those things, you start to start a journey. You start to go down a path where you can start bringing healing to things that have been really, really broken. And you as a person individually starts to grow and seeing how you can contribute to the rebuilding of hearts, to the rebuilding of culture, to the rebuilding of dialogue, and the rebuilding of something that has been systemically broken for many, many years.
Yeah, I love that. I absolutely love that deposit mindset versus withdrawal mindset. And you spoke earlier too about being a deep listener versus speaking. And if you combine that and showing up with thinking like, how could I serve? How could I help bring this person some happiness or strength or validation, and all those beautiful mm-hmm. things that you talked about. You know, if you walk around with that, how can I serve? How can I serve? Like, that's literally what comes back to you in that feel good, you know, back to you at when you walk away, like you were saying. So mm-hmm. versus walking around, give me, you know, where's mine, whatever, yeah. you know, I know it all. And yeah. what do you get back when you walk around like that?
Right? Yeah. And you know, the other part about it too, Jessica, is there's going to be times where it's really awkward. You know, it's really awkward. It's awkward sometimes, but growth is awkward. Think about it. When you're a young child, as you're growing into your body. So, you know, you run a certain way when you're a young child. And then as you start to get older, your body starts to expand. Your muscles start getting stronger. Your depth of perception starts to deepen. Everything starts changing. And so as you start to run, you start to find out like, man, I'm probably not as graceful as I thought I was when I was a young kid, but I'm growing into my body. And it's the same thing with having conversations in regards to race, having conversations, tough conversations about anything. It's at first, it's going to feel awkward and it's going to feel like, you know what, man, I don't know, you know, but I would encourage the listener, I encourage yourself to continually press into that. And again, how you know you're heading in the right direction is, okay, is it contributing constructively to bringing healing, reconciliation, and health, or is it destroying it? You know, is it bringing destruction? Is it causing division? Those are your measurables there. And again, it may feel awkward in the very beginning, but it doesn't mean that it's not, you're not heading in the right direction. You have to be willing to engage in those environments and put yourself in those environments, put yourself in the shoes of someone that's opposite of you, whether it's the Black community, the Hispanic community, Asian community, put yourself in their shoes. And it doesn't mean you have to, you know, thrust yourself and just totally jump off the deep end, but be a listener. You know, they call an exercise called right hand privilege. And it's just a small exercise, but I would encourage you to do this. Majority, you know, of people are right handed, you know, and there's the other half obviously is left handed. But write your name 10 times right handed, and then take that same pencil and then try to write or pen and write your name left handed 10 times. And then how do you feel? How does that make you feel? And that's kind of what in-group, out-group bias is. In-group bias, you're comfortable. It's comfortable to have conversation with people within your own tribe or your own, you know, what I mean by tribe, like people that you hang out with, you know. So if you're a basketball player, you talk amongst basketball players. You're a football player, you talk amongst football players. If you, you know, a teacher, you talk amongst teachers. It's easy to have conversations within that group. But what happens when you start having conversations, i.e. you start writing with your left hand with people that are outside your group, your out group, and you start having these conversations and you're like, man, I did not see it that way. I didn't understand. And some, again, your greater growth will come in asking questions and being deep listeners. If you really want to grow and understanding someone's pain, someone's history, just listen to them. Listen to their heart. Listen to how they're hurting. Listen to how they're lamenting. Doesn't mean you necessarily have to absorb that, but you can listen and learn from that. And when you do, you will start to understand, like, man, you know what? I didn't know this. I didn't know this. I didn't know this. Man, I want to be stronger in this. And what you start to understand is you start to have a greater lens for people in that group. You know, you have a greater lens in that the narrative is not being written by media or what this person's saying, that person's saying. Your narrative is being shaped by the journey you're willing to go on by listening to people around you.
I love that. I have a couple thoughts popping up around that. And one, I like that left-handed exercise, and you try it and you see, you know, what it's like in the other groups with this direct experience of writing your name. And you're also like, I am a righty. So my in-group mm-hmm. is righties and my out-group mm-hmm. would be lefties. Mm-hmm. And Pastor Miles talked about how, like, I, Jessica, have no idea how hard it is to go buy a baseball glove for a lefty or a guitar or et cetera, because I'm not a lefty, right? And I'm living in a right-handed culture. So There's, I imagine, like, only an extent when you say, like, to walk in their shoes or, like, have that empathy. It's like, I can't say, like, well, now I know what exactly it's like to be a lefty. Got it. Right. It's so that, that deep, that conversation, or maybe those race consultations you had mentioned earlier, I think, you know, are really going to be the key to it. And in saying that, do you have any strategies for how to approach those conversations? And then, so once you're like, okay, I'm going to have this, I want to grow and I'm going to have this conversation. I know it's going to be awkward, but if you have a few tools going in, it might be slightly less awkward. And then once you're in it, like, how do you hone those deep listening skills so that you're not just waiting till it's your turn to talk to like
right.
say what's in what you're saying. So
no, absolutely. Yeah. I would say anytime you go into a situation like that, you know, always be open about, hey, I don't know what I don't know, you know, and just be transparent. You know, be open with your group, be open with your environment. Say, hey, I don't know. And I'm really trying to learn. So please forgive me if any question I ask seems, you know, stupid or, you know, or even if it comes off as insensitive, that's not my heart. My heart is really to learn. And I really desire your help in doing so. I think if you come from a place of coming in, honoring to the environment, honoring to the situation, it really will allow you an exponential growth in this topic, an exponential growth around your friends. And it does not have to necessarily even pertain to this topic. It could be anything in life. Like, hey, I don't know anything about podcasts, but you know what? I'm willing to learn. Can you teach me? And then you go in there and you listen and then really get good at asking questions. And when you asking questions, asking from a place of learning as well as humility. And you may know an answer to something, right? Or you may have a revelation or understanding about something. But even in that, if it's pertaining to the topic, you can say, hey, so can I ask you this question? This is my understanding about this. And then you give it off and say, this is how I'm feeling. Can you shed even more light on this? Because this is where I've arrived to in regards to this. I would love some more insight. I would love to have your lens and I would love to have your take on this. And what you do is you empower the people around you to speak into your growth. But then it also shows that you're humble to learn and you're submitted to learn, even if you feel like you already arrived upon an answer.
Nice. I love that.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. And is that the basics of a race consultation or is there something more specific to that?
As far as a race consultation is concerned? Yeah, I would say first, you know, when you're having those types of conversations, it all starts with honor. You know, you have to understand about having honor with people. And the purpose of like a race consultation is allowing people to self-disclose who they are, you know, like, okay, this is where I'm at. And so this is what my experience is. And this is my narrative of this. This was my family's narrative of this, you know? And so when you have a race consultation, again, it starts with great listening. And you want to be the greatest listener. And then you also want to start to arrive upon practices that gets other people to start listening. What are those things? But it all stems, Jessica, out of honor. First, you want to say hello. Then you want to observe similarities. Then you want to notice some assumptions that you may have derived or arrived upon in your heart. Then you want to be open to learn. And then you want to respond respectfully. So that spells out honor. Honor is H is say hello. O is observe similarities. N is notice assumptions. O is to be open to learn. And R is to respond respectfully.
Oh.
And when you do that, you know, when you're H, you know, you want to display a desire to enter into a conversation with your neighbor. Again, you don't want to label somebody. You don't want to put a label on anybody. You want to label them brother and sister. Even if there is offense there, you want to really force your heart to label them brother and sister. Again, these are all to the core kingdom principles. But then, oh, you want to acknowledge that you have more similarities than differences. And acknowledge that standing on common ground will bring us together more than apart.
Mm.
And then you want to notice assumptions. You want to be aware of personal bias while you're having present self-talk. You want to be aware of these personal biases. And then when you open to learn, you want to admit the possibility of a blind spot and acknowledge that your social narrative is limited. Nobody's seen everything. No one knows everything. I don't care how smart, I don't care how much you know about a certain thing. No one knows anything. I don't think there is just one expert on everything. There's people that may be further along, but there isn't one person that knows everything. So you want to acknowledge that your social narrative can be limited, but that you're willing to grow. And then when you want to respond respectfully, is you want to display a desire to walk together in unity at the end. That's the desire of all of this, is that we would walk together in unity. We would grow together in unity. And sometimes when you're desiring unity, you have to embrace diversity. And you have to embrace that other people's narrative, other people's history is not your history, or they have not been afforded those same things. But as you start to learn, and as you start to take the journey of wanting to learn and have a passion for learning the narrative or the lens of someone else, you will start to see, again, like I said, a greater growth in your own life, how you can actively and constructively contribute to the edification of humanity and the rebuilding again of something that has been systemically broken in our country for a long time.
Wow, that's so beautiful. I love that. I love that. I did not realize that honor, each letter stood for something. Could you recap again what each one was?
Yes, an acronym, honor. First one is H. You want to say hello, you know. And what is hello? Hello is displaying a desire to enter into a conversation with your neighbor or with people or with a group. You know, smile, look at them in the eye, say hello. How are you? What's your name? How are you? Tell me about your family. You know, get to know them. Again, you're there with a mindset of depositing the kingdom into these people. And then O is observing similarities. You want to observe, similarities about people. And what does that mean? You want to identify similarity that makes people or them a part of your in-group. So for example, me and you, you know, we're talking, you like podcasts, I like podcasts. Hey, what do you love most about a podcast? That's a similarity that you can start. That's a starting point that you can start at, that, hey, we share this in common. For if it's another woman to woman, maybe you have children. Hey, how many children you have? I have two children. Oh, I have one child. What's your favorite thing about parenting? What's your least favorite thing about parenting? I don't like when my daughter or my son does this. Oh, I don't like that either. You know, that now you're identifying a starting point that you have in common. Right. You know, what are your dreams? You know, what's your pains? What's your frustrations? You know, those are all, even though they're, you know, frustrations, pains, they're not necessarily the most beautiful things or the most aesthetically pleasing things. They're still starting points, because you may have the same frustration. Like, yeah, you know what? I struggle with that too. Wow. And next thing you know, you find that in common and you start from there. The N is notice assumptions. You know, again, be aware of personal biases, you know, present in your self-talk. But again, you want to listen and ask questions. And you also want to listen with the fact that it could be something in your neighbor that it may not necessarily pertain to you or may be in your in-group, but people know when you're listening, you know, by how you engage with them. Are you looking around them? Are you trying to ask them questions to move on to the next thing? Are you asking them questions that don't even pertain to what they're talking about? Are you engaged or are you not engaged? You know, so these are things that you can apply. And then O is just be open to learn. Again, listen with the posture to learn and have your assumptions challenged. You may arrive upon an assumption and it may be true to the core to you, but until you hear someone else on the other side of this conversation, you really want to allow your heart to be open. And then allow the other person to self-disclose who they are, their character, their dreams, their pain, their journey. Allow other people to disclose who they are to you, you know, because when you create a safe environment for them that they're not going to feel judged, They're not going to be ridiculed. You're not going to tear them down. You're not going to label them. When it's a safe space for them to be who they are. And even if they're in a place of pain and hurt and brokenness and, you know, anger and rage, that you're still going to listen, and you're going to listen and not be offended by the pain that they may carry. Because you have to understand, a lot of the pain that is being carried by the African-American community is not just what's current. It's stuff that has been going on for many, many years. So you may get something that comes out, but it could have been built up for over many months, many years. It could have been something that happened to their family. But again, you want to listen with a posture to learn, not a posture to change them or cure it or give them an answer. Because I think sometimes as humanity, we try to give people answers without listening first, or we try to give them answers even if we listen, because that's just our human nature. Humans always are trying to give an answer or an account for something. And that's not our goal. Our goal is to listen to one another so that we can walk alongside with one another so we can grow in unity. That's the goal. And sometimes you have to be able to understand the pain. And the only way you can understand is just be a deep listener and allowing people to self-disclose who they are and where they're at and what season they're in their life and what has caused them pain. What are their dreams? What are they passionate about? You know, maybe someone is passionate that Jessica knows who wants to have an amazing podcast like Jessica has, but they don't have a certain starting point, you know? And then they share this with you and you're like, wow, you desire to have a podcast? You're like, yeah, I've been desiring to have a podcast. Wow, let me give you a little bit of information that has helped me along the way. That'll only come out of listening. And then the R lastly is to respond respectfully. You want to smile. You want to engage in conversation. And you want to say and act in a way that adds to, again, like I was telling you, that adds to their life and their journey without you receiving anything in return. That's a deposit mindset over a withdrawal mindset. When you have a deposit mindset, you're like, okay, I'm here to bless you. I'm here to help you. And I don't want anything in return. And when you have that, you start to see there's a favor and there's a grace that rests on your conversation, and it rests on your relationship with people that are around you, because they know, like, oh man, you know, Jessica, I can be open with her. Jessica doesn't want anything from me. And what usually happens is when you absorb and those become core values in your life, you start to see that you will have people starting to come around you and engage with you, and engaging with your life is because they know it's a safe place and that you're not there to take away from them. You're there actually to bless them. They want you around in your life. They want your circle, your influence, your personality. They want these things around them because it edifies them. It strengthens them in their journey as they grow in life.
That's great. Wow. Thank you. This is amazing. I'm so happy to learn that.
Yeah.
I do think there's just so much beauty to what you talked about, and having this deposit mindset that you're going in to contribute. And then there's this resultant afterglow for both parties, right? And I love that you talked about labeling people as brother and sister, right? And that's it. Like, if that's the only label, like if you hear another, this one I'm assuming, right, is any other label pops up, you're just like that brother, sister.
Yeah.
And using that place of honor. And I like this acronym. I think that really, it gives me something to not only use for myself, but share with other people. A lot of people in my circles are like helping or looking to ways to help or looking for ways to grow. So I think this is definitely something that is amazingly helpful. And yeah, I just.
You know, there's a, you know, obviously as a man of faith that, you know, read the Bible, there's so many amazing stories in there about like these principles. One of the stories I was actually listening to it this morning, one of the stories was about Saul. And, you know, this guy was very learned, He was considered the top scholar in his region. He was actually killing Christians. That was his whole thing. Was like, I'm gonna wipe out these Christians. And he was a Pharisaical leader. Well, he has this crazy encounter with the Lord, and he's essentially blind for 3 days. And the Lord appears to this guy named Ananias, and he says to him that, you know, Ananias, go to this place where Saul is, and I want you to pray for him. And he's seen in a vision of a man named Ananias come to him. And Ananias' reaction was like, Lord, this guy was just killing people a week ago. Like, do you know, like, you know, he's like going back and forth with God in his heart about, I don't know if I'm going to go and I don't know if I want to go talk to this guy, because he's known as a killer based on what we knew a week ago, but he hasn't known him a week since. Right. Or, you know, however long that was. And he's like, but you know what? I'm going to go do it. So he goes and do it. And he says something really interesting, Jessica, when he meets him. He says, Brother Saul. He didn't say Killer Saul. He didn't say this Saul. He said, Brother Saul. He called him brother. And he said, hey, I've been sent here. I've been sent to pray for you. And that jumped out at me. It was like, man, well, here's a guy who had a narrative and a label on what this person did in the past. But he humbled himself after having a conversation with God. He humbled himself and he honored the fact that, you know what, I'm going to go and I'm just going to do this and see what happens. And he came to him. He said, brother. So he called him brother. So when you label someone brother and sister and you put a highest honor on them, even when they don't deserve it at times, you know, and when they don't deserve it, and when you're able to honor a person without you being shifted in a certain offense, or, you know, and hear my heart. What I'm saying is that sometimes, you know, it's very justifiable. I mean, there is pain that happens. There are things that happen. There is injustice that happens. I'm not saying that that is not the case. But when you personally, again, like I said from the very beginning, you can only control what you do. You can only control how you react. And how he reacted, he said, Brother Saul. He called him brother. And so that switched his whole entire narrative on how to go and do what he was called to do for this man's life, which is essentially was just to pray for him. But I took a lot of freedom and liberty out of that story, because there's sometimes where you do meet people, and we're all human, and you label somebody. And, oh, man, they did this, they did that. And you put a label on them. Oh, man, they're just this, or they done that, or their crime has labeled them, or their bad judgment has labeled them, or things they've done that are heinous, that are bad, that are evil, has labeled them. But you still have the power and the authority not to label them. You have a choice to do that.
Right.
Now, whether you do or you don't is up to you. But if you start to get to a space and start to really move towards a place where you operate out of this honor, and you start seeing people as brother and sister, you start to see growth in your own life. And again, this is not to, you know, minimize anything that has been done that has been wrong. I'm not minimizing it by any means. What I'm saying is that we have a choice to speak on people and speak things over people and speak things over situations that will allow us, will allow them to grow, and will allow us to grow simultaneously.
Yeah. And I love that explanation, because I've heard some advice once that was like, you know, someone's acting out, or maybe in the way that you said, like, they don't deserve it. Think of it that they're either in pain or confused. And I don't know if you're familiar with Wayne Dyer, but he uses the word ego to mean earth guide only. And in a way, like, we could have a conversation about all the stuff that goes in our head and the mind stuff versus like our soul, right? So And tell me if this isn't the intent, but like, in other words, the honor is like, I'm honoring someone really at the soul level, not necessarily as saying brother, sister, or even any other noun if they prefer a different one, right? Like it's more from that soul level. And then, so if they are acting out, or I think you said like done bad deeds or whatever, it's like, I could still look at that stuff as more of the earthly, but know that there's still an honor that maybe they are in pain or confused, and never condoning things, like, but more understanding, right? So could you give me your thoughts on that? Am I off the mark, or is that similar to how you look at it?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think the best thing is to see where their heart is at, and you want to connect with them on, you know, like you said, on in their soul, where are they at? Because oftentimes people that are dealing with pain, it's not just that instance. It could be something even prior to, something that happened prior, and it's like compiled on. And so, you know, you look at all the stuff that has been happening. So, you know, the heinous killings, the, you know, African-Americans dying. You have Breonna Taylor, you have George Floyd, you had Ahmaud Arbery, and all the people prior to that. So there's pain there. There's pain that has been built up over many, many years. And even prior to those, there's been pain going all the way back 400 years, slavery, and names that we may never even heard of. But then on top of that, you gotta understand too, we've been cooped up in our houses for the last 3.5 months, almost 4 months, you know, with COVID. And there's families that have, you know, lost loved ones, and there's pain there. And so, you know, there's pain, you know, being wrapped up in all different things. And then there's a tipping point that happens. And unfortunately, it was at the cost of lives from George Floyd. Unfortunate, very unfortunate. But then you saw all this pain come out. Mm-hmm. And it was the Black community, it was the African-American community, it was all these people. But then you also had pain from other people that, like, hey, man, I'm suffering here too. And I've been suffering for a long, long time. And now this is an opportunity for me to express my pain, to express my frustration. And some of it came in the form of destructive expression, and some of it was peaceful expression, you know. And what you come to find is that at the core of both of those expressions is pain, you know. And so when you're able to connect, and what happens is this, you may have someone in the street who's expressing their pain. It could be a Black person and a white person and a Hispanic. They all are expressing from the same space of pain. Mm-hmm. So they're all there together, looking eye to eye with one another. We're like, I'm fed up. You fed up? Yep, I'm fed up. You fed up? Yep, I'm fed up too. And so now they're all identifying in the same area. So think about this. If you can identify collectively in that same area, what would prevent us as a humanity and culture to identify from that another area of unity, right, on that same common ground? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, so it gives me hope, because, you know, hear my heart. I'm not saying I'm for the destructiveness and things of that nature. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying at the core, that people were identifying with each other, with being fed up and in pain eye to eye. So if we can do it in that space, then I know we can do it in this space of, you know what, we can be eye to eye in unity over here and grow and strengthen one another and strengthen all people in unity over here as well. If we're able to do it in this space, we can do it in this space over here.
I love that, right? So rather than a space of pain and hurt and destruction, we could unify in a space of growth and love and contribution and figuring stuff out. Wow. Mm-hmm. Wow. Thank you. I'm so, so happy that I got to speak with you today. I know your Instagram handle is at Hendrix Greg. And I'll put this in the show notes as well. Is there anything else that you would like to share before we part ways for today?
Yeah, you know, thank you. Thank you again, Jessica. I hope this bless you, bless me for sure. And all the listeners that are tuning in, I would encourage you, a great resource. There's many great resources out there on this topic. Pastor Miles McPherson's book, The Third Option, you can get it at milesmcpherson.com. You can go on the Rock Church website and order that book. And this is not just a book promo by any means, but it is a phenomenal resource for you to read and grow from. Even if you pull just one thing, if it's going to help you grow in becoming a contributor of unity to our nation and to our world, then by all means, you should really engage and invest in that in itself, to have tools, equip yourself with tools that will help you grow as a listener, grow as a person, and bringing unity to our world. And then the last thing I would say is continually learn how to be deep listeners, ask really great questions. No question is a stupid question. Be transparent on where you're at. And really, this is the real last thing I would say, have conversations in your homes with your kids and the next generation. Don't just allow the conversation to stop with you. Ask your children, what do they know about this? How does it make them feel? Get their observation as well. Don't just try to protect them. The best way you can protect them is equip them, and equip them in the sense that you have dialogue, you have conversation, and ask from their lens, ask for their perspective, ask them great questions, because we want to empower the next generation to inherit something that is better than when we have it, and that they can inherit it and make it even greater in their generation and for their kids and their kids' kids and generations to come. We have to do our part, and it definitely starts with you. So I would encourage you guys all in that. I'm thankful to be on here, and I pray a blessing over all of you who are listening to this podcast. God bless you guys.
And same right back at you. Thank you so much again.
Thanks for listening. Show notes are online at betterandbetterer.com. Find a buddy to try out this episode's challenge. We want to hear how it goes. So hit us up on Instagram at betterandbetterer.